I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'll speak to people who remind us to take better care of ourselves. And what better way to take care of ourselves than to understand more about our bodies? This series, I've teamed up with Fitbit. Fitbit allows you to get to know yourself better and understand your health with insights that are unique to you. As I always say, knowledge is power, and Fitbit provides data about your health and well-being to help empower and support you in leading a balanced and healthy lifestyle. I'm so happy to have Fitbit on board, as my Fitbit helps keep me focused and on track with my goals and training. Being partnered with Fitbit is inspiring, as they're encouraging everyone to make positive changes, and I hope this podcast does too. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I speak to Jennifer Carroll, also known as Jen's Journey. Jen is an inspiration to people all across the country after documenting her weight loss journey. She's lost 12 stone over the past 2 years and dropped 10 stone in her first year. She's here today to talk to me about how she made the decision to lose the weight, how exercise has become such a massive part of her life, and how we can all adapt healthy habits that will help us to become more fulfilled and happier. I hope you enjoy. Jennifer, welcome to the Good Glow podcast.
Thank you.
I'm so thrilled you're here today. Lots and lots, well, in fact, nearly 100,000 people who follow you on Instagram will know you as Jen's Journey. Mm-hmm. And what a journey you have been on. You've lost 12 stone since June 2017. Yeah. It's just incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I want to go back to that time and I suppose what led you to waking up on that morning. Your baby was 2 years old, and you decided that's it. Everything changes from today.
It was a massive build up towards it. So my whole life I'd struggled my way. I'd always been overweight, and I feel like I tried every diet in the book. And then it was, so when I'd been in London quite a while, and I was in a relationship with my son's father, obviously, and it was a toxic relationship, and I was on my own over in London, so I didn't have my friends and family, so it was kind of easy for me to hide it. And I think as soon as I gave birth to Carter, I was emotionally eating, and I gained, I think it was like just over 4 to 5 stone in, I think, 2 years. So I'd always been overweight, but that was really kind of pushed me to like dangerously overweight. And it was a really tough time in London because I was on my own, obviously. So that was a really hard time. And then it was kind of a year of like court cases and legal battles. And I was just emotionally eating. Like I was just eating through my feelings. And then it finally came to a point where we were granted like leave, which was great. But that was, I think, my really big wake up call. I mean, I knew, I felt like it was always coming. Something was coming where I'd have that day where I would just wake up and I was like, this is it. But I was also 28, and I know 28 is so young, but in my head I was thinking, I'm so old, I've always been overweight, like it's just never going to happen for me. You know, when you see people on social media all the time and they would change their lives around, and I was like, it's just never going to be me. And then I think it was just having character and knowing, like, this is it. I'm moving back home. Like, all my friends and family there, everyone is so successful. Everyone is so happy. And I'm going to be, like, a single parent. And I knew I was going to be raising Carter on my own. I knew that was it. Like, his dad was out of the picture. So I didn't want, like, my way to have an effect on how I was parenting, and I knew it would, because I had an effect on everything. Like, I didn't want to leave the house, I didn't want to do anything, so I knew that I had to make a change kind of to give him the best start. And he was obviously getting to that age where he was 2, and he was just kind of starting to run around, he was wild, and I just wanted to really enjoy and make, I think obviously when you break up with someone, when you're in a relationship, you kind of have a guilt anyway, and I knew I was going to be a single parent, and I think I held on to that guilt a lot. So I think I was like, no, I have to do it for him. Like, I want him to have the best chance. I don't want his life to be any different than anyone else's. And so he really did like motivate me. Like, I would like to think I would have done it for myself if I didn't have him, but I don't know. I honestly don't believe myself when I say that. He was definitely my like reason to kind of be like, I have to do this.
It's so funny that often, like, we'll do these things for other people. Like, I remember when my oncologist said I had to exercise, like, my baby was the first person that I thought about, because you'll do it for somebody else.
Exactly.
And so what did you do on that day? Like, what did you have a plan? Did you speak to people, or were you, was this a very kind of like solo journey that you were on? Were you able to confide in anyone?
I think at that time I was in like such a dark, like low place. I was very depressed. I was like having like a lot of panic attacks like often, but I was completely on my own. So I had one really good friend I stayed in touch with in London, but apart from that, I cut myself off from everybody. That I didn't tell anybody, like all of my uni friends, work colleagues, I just cut everyone out. So I was very much on my own, but I did have a good friend like for support. But I think that was, I think it was almost a good thing, because I think I really spoke to myself a lot in my head, and I was kind of like, you need to sort yourself out. Like, this is it. And I knew the time was approaching that I was moving home, and I kept being like, I want to try and make a change before, like get into better routines before I move home. And then I also just gotten diagnosed with an underactive thyroid. So I had been trying for a couple months, and I remember like nothing was working. I was doing juice diets, and because I was so heavy, like I was just over 25 stone, that I was like, if I'm drinking juice for a month and I'm not losing weight, there's definitely something wrong. Mm-hmm. So when I went to the doctor, he was like, no. And my mom had had a lot of trouble with her thyroid in the previous year, and they had said maybe because it's hereditary. So they were like, no, it's very underactive. So they put me on medication, and then I was like, okay, I've got that now. I have no excuses. And I just literally sat down one day. I remember I bought a diary, and I just planned the entire week. And I remember just saying, I'm just going to promise myself the next 4 weeks until I move home. I was like, no matter if it's good days or bad days, I'll plan every single day, and I'll write down every single thing I eat, and I'll track where I'm going. And then my friend Grace posted me over her old Slimming World book. She'd like digged it out of the wheelie bin for me. She sent it over, and I kind of just understood it to the best of my ability, because I was too embarrassed to join a group. So I was like, I'll just do it from home. And I literally stuck like stuff all over the apartment, and I had like post-its everywhere, but like some of them were just like cheesy positive quotes. But I just really wanted to push myself harder than I ever had before, because I was like, this is the time, like I have to do it now, now or never kind of moment.
And how was how did the weight restrict you in your day-to-day life?
With everything, like I missed out on like going traveling with my friends, like the girls. I moved to Australia for a long time. I kind of always wanted to do that, but I wouldn't do it. Just going on holidays, nights out, it really held me back. And my confidence was also really low because of the relationship. So I think that on top of it, I just didn't want to leave the house. And like sometimes I feel really guilty when I think about the first like 2 years of Carter's life, because I was so like low and depressed, but like it was also the best 2 years of my life. So it's like a struggle sometimes when I'm like, oh, I worry that like it wasn't the best 2 years for him, but like it was the 2 years that I really, I suppose, grew into myself and like changed. And it's like sad 2 years to look back on, but I'm also grateful for them, because I think it really helped me kind of build up the strength that I needed to make the change.
Because like it must have felt like you had a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
And it was, it's so much harder to do these things, I think, than to just stay the same.
Yeah.
Obviously, you felt like you had no option. You were ready to, you wanted to be the best mum you could be.
Yeah.
So did your weight start to come off in those first 4 weeks, like before you moved home? Did you see improvements?
So by the time I'd moved home, the 4 weeks, I was down over a stone. But I think that's because I was so big that when you start, like when you kind of change your diet dramatically, it comes off quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So like in the first, by Christmas, I was down 5 stone or 5.5 stone. And that was kind of 6 months or something. And then by the, so the first year I lost 10 stone. And then the second year I only lost 2 stone. But the second year I was a lot more focused on training and eating differently. Where the first year, I think, was kind of just really focused on getting the first massive bit of weight off me. But
10 stone in 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year.
That is incredible. And obviously you had support from your family. Were they
amazing,
all encouraging
support.
You?
And my mom and dad were really good, because they started cooking meals. Like, they wouldn't use kind of like a lot of oil anymore. We kind of threw out the deep fryer. We bought air fryers. They were really good. Like, and they would cook, like, even the Sunday roast, they adapted to like suit me, and everything changed. And like, they wouldn't, like, even if they were getting takeaways, if they would do it when I wasn't there. Like, they were so supportive. And I think they were just so happy to have me and Carter back home. And like, my mom knew how much my weight had always kind of held me back, I suppose. And it was a really sensitive subject, like, when they would try to bring it up. And I remember when they would bring it up, I would be so defensive and so upset and hurt. And but it's only now, when I look back, I understand so much as a parent, like, how worrying and scary it must have been for them to see me kind of balloon to that size. And like, when I look back on pictures and videos now, I'd seen a video or something of me a few weeks ago, like, and even the way I walked, like, it doesn't look like me, but like, I couldn't even walk like without looking normal, if that makes sense, because I'd so much weight carry, and I was almost like, I kind of was waddling. And I remember just thinking, like, it would break my heart to see Carter kind of grown up into his teen years, into young adulthood like that. And like, every time I would try to bring, or my mom would bring it up to me, like, it would just end in an argument. And she would obviously be trying to be like as nice as she could about it, but she was obviously really, really concerned. So like, I think they're just so happy for me, and they're so proud, and like, that's a great feeling as well. And they're always trying to like help me like with everything, so
support,
I'm really lucky with them.
Support is amazing,
it's
though,
so
isn't
important,
it?
Like, so important.
And let's talk about then your Instagram, because it's, you've got so many followers, I can't even comprehend, like nearly 100,000. So did people start following you then? How far into your journey, like, did you decide that you wanted to share your story, or?
It was more secretive. So I started it at the end of January 2018. So last January, I was about 6 stone down, I think, between 5 and 6 stone. And it was right after kind of Christmas, I suppose. And I was at that point where I wanted like a bit of a kick in the bum to get me back. Like, you know, after Christmas, it's easy to kind of let old habits sink in. And I was like, no, I need something to really push me now. So I was like, it would be really great if I just posted every single meal every day, like just my 3 meals, and that's it. So I set up this Instagram account, and I just started posting my 3 meals a day, but it was on private. So I think I had like 2 followers, like 2 random people. And then it was about 4 or 5 weeks later, my friends copped on and realised it was me. And then they gave me shout outs, I suppose, on social media. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just snowballed from there. They were like, it's amazing. They were like, it would really help people. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Because I wouldn't talk to the camera for, I think, 4 or 5 months. Like, I wouldn't even let Grace or Dominique, like, when their phones came out, I like hid. I didn't like being on the camera. So for the first kind of 4 months, I would do cooking videos and just post my 3 meals. But since, I think it went public in February, mid-February. And since then, like, I literally posted 3 meals a day, every single day since then. It's like, I think I have like 2,000 posts, or like over 1,000 posts, because it's just 3 meals every single day.
Wow. So it's, and like, that obviously kept you very focused.
So
then.
Focused. Because I was doing like weekly weigh-ins and stuff. And I was kind of like, you know, if I'm posting it and I'm being accountable for it, like, if I'm honest and post my meals and people see the results, they'll know that you can still have like nice foods and healthy foods. And the foods that I make, like, every day when I post my meals, like, I say people get so sick of seeing my berries and yogurts every day, because it's, I'm not posting it for the likes. I'm just posting it to show what I'm eating every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just helps people see. But my food is really basic. Like, I don't make crazy like restaurant style recipes. That's really basic. I do kind of like any food. There's nothing I'd really say no to. So I think that helps people, because they're just simple, quick, easy to do, like stuff that you have in the cupboard. And like, I shop in Lidl and Aldi, so it's not like it's real, you know, difficult to get your hands on. And I think that's what people like about it. It's easy to do.
And how much has your diet changed then from 2017 to now?
So much. So I never, like, I was always quite good at cooking. I did, do a lot of home cooking. I never really had take. I know people would never believe me when I say I'm not a big takeout person when I was that size, but I really wasn't. I think my bad habits were a lot of bread and butter, so like a lot of toast. And then when I had Carter, kind of like not eating all day, eating maybe toast or his leftovers. And then as soon as he went to bed, it was like a feast for a king. So I would have just really big portions, and then I'd kind of have bread, I suppose, with every meal. And then it was after that, I was just so bad for like chocolate and crisp and ice cream. You know, like when you go to the shop and you get a chocolate bar, like I was never the kind of person that could just buy a Dairy Milk and go home and like watch a film and that's it. Like it would have to be a family size bar. It would have to be a big bag of crisps, and then there'd have to be like jellies or something as well.
Yeah. And it's like that, I suppose, with many people, and when they, you know, think they could never give up alcohol or never give up smoking, and then they move on with their lives and they're living these fulfilled, happy lives without these crutches, I suppose. Yeah. But it's like you're using something to fill a void.
Yeah, 100%. And you were. And I think I was always an emotional eater because I was always big. I never had great confidence. I was always quite a self-conscious person. Like, and I used to always feel like all of my friends were like stunning supermodels. And I was always that kind of just fat, ugly friend.
Oh my
God. That's how I always felt. And I always was self-conscious about it. So I always think I had like my humor. I would always try to be the funny one. Because I was like, that has to be my thing.
And when you started to share your meals online, were you getting messages from people who were also on their journeys?
Yeah, so I got so many messages from people with, I think as well, because it was a massive amount of weight that I'd lost. A lot of times people might just kind of be toning up, or they might lose a stone or two. And there's a lot of people out there that maybe know they have 15 stone to lose. And like you said earlier, it's such a mountain and it's so hard to comprehend. Like I always say to people, if I had woken up and been like, right, okay, I'm going to lose 12 stone from today, I don't think I would have been able to do it. But then losing 12 stone for one person can be just as hard as losing 12 pounds for another person. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how much, like, you have to lose. It's hard regardless. But I just think you have to focus on what you're doing that day. And I'm always like, no matter what, just do what you can do that day. Don't focus on like where you're going and how much you have to lose. And it just makes it so much easier, because all you can do, like every day when you get up, all you can do is your best. Mm-hmm. You can only do what you can that day. There's obviously going to be days where you're going to eat what you want, or you're going to eat off plan. That's life. Like, stuff happens. But it's just, I think, learning to motivate yourself to just get back on it. Mm-hmm. And the next day to not be like to not feel guilty about it, or like, you know, I think a lot of people do that where they had a bad weekend and then they're like, oh God, like there's no point trying. Like, I've ruined all my work. Whereas it's just learning kind of to motivate yourself every day and just trying every day. And that way, like, it just slowly becomes habit without realizing. Like, I never would have thought 2 years ago, like when I was sitting in my apartment in London, that I would be like even living the way I am, like so actively, and like eating the way I'm eating. And like, I think it's important for me as well with character, because I want him to see like how important it is to kind of eat healthy. Like, I'm always scared about like pushing it too much on him, because then I'm afraid it will be like backfire on me. But I do think it is important. Like, but the amount of people that did reach out that said, you know, even just following like a week of the plan has really helped me. And like I said, a lot of people were like, it's just really handy that it's easy to cook, like it's handy. But I did get overwhelmed, I think, at the start, because I had to turn my messages off eventually, and I haven't turned them on since, and that was about a year ago. But I would still, like, I still, my inbox is like 100+, like I can't keep on top of them. But I think it got to a point where people especially on Instagram, when they're like in a low place and they kind of look up to you or they've followed your journey, they really open up to you. I just worry sometimes that people are like, she doesn't get back or she's not. But it's just really hard. Like, I think people laugh when you say that, you know, like, oh, like people, my friends are like, and work with slag me when you're saying things like that. But I'm like, actually, I really know, yeah. is hard to keep on top
because
of
you're trying to wear so many hats. Like, you've got your mom hat, you're trying to exercise, you're trying to do food prep, you're trying to like be social and see
yeah, exactly,
your friends and
yeah.
family. So,
and then have a 9 to 5 in between.
Oh my
like,
God,
it's Friday. Like the work full time, that takes up most of the time.
We'll get back to the conversation in just a minute, but first I wanted to give you the latest update on how I'm getting on with my Fitbit Versa 2. Like me, Fitbit are all about healthy habits. Positive habits are so important for achieving balance and good health. My goals are to drink more water, to eat well, and to exercise often. I logged these goals and my Fitbit has helped me keep on top of trying to achieve them. I also love the personalized breathing sessions where I can take a few minutes out every day to just relax. One of the biggest impacts my Fitbit has had in my life is that I no longer sleep beside my phone. I always had my phone close by for my alarm and to tell the time, but now I have a Fitbit that can do both. I leave my phone on the other side of the room now, which stops me scrolling when I get into bed. For me, this is a game changer. As well as other handy features like the always-on display, Fitbit Pay, and being able to control Spotify from my wrist. My Fitbit is for sure making my life easier. Now, back to our conversation. And tell us then about exercise, because that became a huge part of your life and yeah. it definitely contributes to, I suppose, how happy you are yeah. now, I'm sure.
100%. I think the exercise as well, it was Grace that got me into it. She was doing personal training at the time with Sean Harding in B2B. He said that she told him about me, and I think I was home, it was November. So it'd be 2 years this month or next month that I've started with him. And she was like, she's never done like any kind of exercise and she's really like not confident and all. And he was like, well, just bring her along like to PT because it's just you. So she'll be comfortable.
And this is your best friend Faces by Grace,
yes.
just in case people.
Yeah. So, and I was like, and she kind of convinced me into it. And I was absolutely terrified because when I'd been in London, right after I had Carter, I remember joining a gym. And I was like, it was a huge step for me because like I hadn't lost any weight and I was on my own. And I remember going into the gym and I was there for about 2 weeks or something. And I remember one day I was on the bike. I can't remember what I was doing. And some man came up to me and he was just like, oh, I just want to let you know, like, you're really motivating me and I think you're amazing and like fair play to you. And there's all these, you know, like muscle men over there. He was like, but you're what's motivating me. And like, I was like, okay, thanks. And I was so, so upset. Now, he was obviously trying to come from a good place, which he was.
So weird.
But I was mortified. And I was like, I clearly stand out. And I know he was trying to be nice, but it just made me feel like an alien. And I was like, clearly, like, he looked around the gym and like, he's coming up to me to be like, fair play because of my size and how I look and I'm trying. And although he was trying to like motivate me, I never went back to the gym.
Oh
I literally
God.
Was like, and I think I'd paid for like 3 months, but I never went back because I was just embarrassed. So when I was doing it with Grace, I was like, at least it's just me and her and it's PT. And I remember going in, at the time, Sean had like a shed out his back that he used to train people in. And I couldn't even do a lunge. Like, I remember he was like, so we'll just see what you can do. And he was kind of like, just kind of go down on one knee. And I was like falling over. And like, even to do sit-ups, like I couldn't reach my feet or my knees because my tummy. And I was already down, I think, nearly 4 stone, maybe 3.5 stone when I started with him in October, November. So I was like, it was really like starting from scratch. And I never thought I would be someone who even enjoyed exercise. So I just kept with him and I was going kind of 2 or 3 days a week with Grace. And then eventually I started going to the classes. And that was a big step because I was terrified of doing, you know, a group training, I suppose.
Mm. And what sort of class would you do?
So he does like fitness and strength.
Okay.
So the fitness one, I suppose, would be more like cardio, I suppose. It's not really cardio, but and then the strength is obviously weights and stuff. But he's very much about like back to basics. Like he doesn't use a lot of machines or equipment. Mm. It's just more kind of the body, I suppose. Obviously, there's weights and stuff there. But I remember I was just terrified about running, and I was like, please don't make me run, like, in the class. And he was so good, and thankfully I got on so well with Sean. Like, we had a really, really good connection. He's a great trainer.
Oh, that's so important, isn't
it? I was going to say, and I know I wouldn't have gone back if I didn't have that. But the fact that I kept going back, I was like, no, he's worth it. He's so good. And I felt so comfortable around him. And even doing things, like the first time he'd make me do certain exercises, like, it does be so embarrassing when you're not able, or when you're big. Like, I mean, I know it's probably embarrassing for anyone any size in the gym when they're trying to do something they don't know. But I think with my size, and I just used to feel very uncomfortable, but he just made me feel at ease. And I kind of got to a point where I would laugh at myself. I wouldn't care. I'd just go for it. So I kind of got to a point where he was even like, you're well able to do the class. Is like, you're not giving yourself enough credit.
It's that when someone says you're well able, you're like,
and you're kind of like, oh,
that gives you so much confidence.
That's what I mean. I was kind of like, if he can see it, and he's honest, like, he was the trainer, I suppose. So I was like, right, I'll do it. And I remember waiting outside the class, and I think it was my first one. Grace couldn't make it, and I was having a meltdown in the car because she texted me, and I was like, I'm going home. And Sean was like ringing me, and he was like, you better be here. So I was like sitting in my car, and he came out to me, and he was like, come on. And I remember, like, he literally stood beside me for the whole class because I think he knew how nervous I was. But it was great. And now, like, some of my best friends, like, I've made in the gym, like, I've such a good little circle of friends. And it's just such a great, like, not atmosphere, but, like, circle to be in. And, like, everyone is very supportive. And, like, we all have, like, we have a little group chat where we all have bad days. But, like, we all really push each other on. And we know, like, when we go in the morning, we're all there to motivate each other. And it's just a really, really nice environment that I never thought I would be part of. And that would be so important for me. But I do think, in the beginning and even now, like, what I've done for my head, like, it really did train me and it helped me with the weight loss and the exercise, and I love what I've done for that and the strength, like, physical strength that I gained. But I mean, my headspace, it was just so good for it. And people always say that, but it really did really help me. I think at the time I needed something to focus on, and even stuff with, like, letting anger out and, like, emotional stuff, that helped. It was like, that's what I was kind of craving or going for, rather than the emotional eating. It was like I replaced that with the exercise, and that was obviously, like, a great thing for me.
Even on the way up the stairs tonight, like, your Fitbit beeped with the 10,000 steps. And, like, I wait for my Fitbit to start beeping with the 10,000. Does your Fitbit help you kind of stay on track?
No, 100%. I'm like, every day, like, even when we were in B2B, they had a challenge last year where we had to hit 20,000 every day.
Oh my God, that's
so
huge.
So much harder. Now, I walk to work and home from work rather than driving, just because it's 20 minutes. And I know if I walk there and back, I get kind of close to 8,000. And then I know at the gym in the morning, and then running around with character when I get in from work, I always hit my 10K no matter what. But it's like, even my friend Vicky in work got it. And, like, we'd be texting each other every day, screenshots. And I'm like, did you get your 10K? But that kind of stuff really does keep you motivated, like. And it's just the little things, like, even my trainer was like, small things like hitting 10,000 steps every day is sometimes more beneficial than going to the gym twice a week. He's like, it's really important, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, but I am a little bit obsessed with other stuff now. I love it.
You've spoken about habits there and how they just become part of your normal life, and Fitbit talk about healthy habits a lot, and so do I. But, like, it is, I suppose, when you get up in the morning and instead of having, like, two pieces of toast, if you just for 2 weeks have porridge or yogurt and berries, all of a sudden it's just normal to do that after a while. What was it like to look in the mirror a year in, 10 stone down? Like, what was going through your head? Were you just blown away by what you had achieved in that short space of time?
I remember it was actually really emotional. I remember the day I got my 10 stone award. It was like, I was in Slimming World at the time, and they awarded me that day. I got my 10 stone award, and I also won, like, Woman of the Year. They do, like, a thing every year. And then that night, me and Grace were going to Britney Spears, and
I've been, like,
obsessed with Britney Spears since I was, like, a child. So I remember, I was like, it's the best day of my life. But I remember it was a really emotional day, and I remember I had a few tears and stuff that night. And then I remember we actually went to the George, and I won a Britney Spears impersonating competition.
Oh my God, you were just, like, the greatest
literally
day.
It was the best day.
Literally.
But I remember I had, there's still days even now though where I was kind of having a hard week last week, that there was just stuff from the past, I suppose, coming up. And I remember thinking, it feels like a lifetime ago, but sometimes I have to remind myself it really isn't. Like, 2 years is such a short space of time. And how much I've changed, like, I've turned my life around, but also my mindset, the way kind of, I think, even talking to myself. And there are still days, some days, where, like, I will have a little cry. And sometimes it's happy tears, sometimes I can be a bit overwhelmed. And I always have that fear that, like, I'm just going to wake up one day and I'm just going to creep back to how I was. And I think that's always in the back of my head. But it's just the mindset. It's just changing. Like, the hardest part of weight loss, especially when you have a huge amount of weight to lose, I think is changing your mindset and how you see yourself. Like, even only the other night, I was texting one of my friends, and I can't remember what we were talking about, and they were like, you're speaking so negatively about yourself. I think I was talking about an outfit I was going to wear, or we were going out. And I kind of stepped back and looked, and I was like, oh God, like, I really am. But, like, I'm trying to, like, acknowledge that stuff and stop myself, because obviously it's not good to do that. But I think it's really easy when you've hated how you look and hated yourself for, like, most of your life. Like, it's hard to just lose all the weight and then all of a sudden be like, I'm fabulous. Like, I love myself. Like, it's really hard. Like, I,
like, your go-to about yourself
is a negative thought. Or, like, to point. Now, I know that's probably normal for a lot of people. Like, we all kind of point out. But I really struggle with it. Like, looking in the mirror, I'm really bad. Like, I never, it's never a positive thought. Like, I've gotten better, and I think since the surgery helped with my confidence, like, massively. But there's still days when I'm like, oh, like, and I think changing that has been the hardest part, like, changing my whole mindset. But then I'm like, but I lived that way for 20 years. Like, I lived in those thoughts. Like, I would think like that since I was really young. So it is really hard to kind of change all of that. And even though people do be like, you look great, I still don't think I'm, I don't think I see myself how others see myself. I still sometimes think I'm big. And it's only sometimes I'll see a photograph with me and my friends and I'm like, oh, like, I don't stand out. Like, I don't look any bigger than them. Like, I just look normal, like, in my head normal. And that does kind of be nice. But I do definitely think it takes a long time for your head to catch up with the journey, I suppose. But I think it will take a long time anyway.
And tell us about your surgery then, because you were spoke about it so openly on your Instagram page. There's a highlight there where you speak about it, and there's before and after pictures. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I kind of knew from the start, because it was going to be a massive weight loss journey, that if I did kind of get close to, I suppose, like, my goal weight or, like, my happy weight, that surgery was going to be probably the answer. Because obviously when you lose that amount of weight, there's going to be excess skin. So I'd always kind of pump myself up for it. And people kind of were always like, oh God, like, you must have been so scared. You must have been so nervous. But I think up until the day of the surgery, I was just really excited. I was just really looking forward to it because I'd put all this hard work in. And like I was saying, when I look in the mirror, I'm always negative. But I've said it before and I always say it online, it's really hard when you, like, lose all the weight and everyone is like, you look amazing, you should be so proud. And like, I was proud, but like, I really, really hated what I seen when I looked in the mirror, because it,
like,
was
still
so, yeah, well, more so like before. Now I still have more surgery to go, but like, even with my tummy area especially, that was where so it was 7 pounds of skin that they removed from my tummy. But it was like, my friends were like, you look great, and like, you hide it well, you can't tell. And I'm like, yeah, but when it's bare, I'm like, it looks abnormal. And I'm like, it doesn't look like when I was big, it's just a fat belly. Everyone knows what a fat belly looks like, it's just a big belly. But when you lose all that weight and it's all the kind of sag, and it just looked like nothing I'd ever seen before. And then I was like, so there's obviously other people out there that have it or that are going to have it. And I was absolutely terrified, like, so scared about sharing that side of it. But I'd kind of been a year sharing my meals, and then I was like interacting with people. I was like, I can't go for this surgery and not, like, share. I just felt like it would be, I don't know, like, dishonest. So I was like, I have to make it. Now, I didn't know whether I was going to do the before and after picture, but then once I seen the result, I was like, yeah, definitely. Like, I look great. So I was
happy. It's like,
to
I never posted ball pictures until my hair grew back.
That's the thing. And I was like, but I'm the very same. And even I want to have, like, my arms done next. And people are always like, can I see them? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I'll probably show you them after the surgery, but, like, no.
Yeah.
But But I remember the response I got from that. I think I got like over 10,000 followers the kind of week or two of my surgery. Wow. So I kind of went from like 80,000 up to where I am now.
Just because you were...
People were so interested.
And when was your surgery?
The surgery was in July.
Okay,
so right. I was 3 months post-op yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, so
That's still so recent.
Yeah, so it's still very recent. And I only went back training like 4 or 5 weeks ago. So I had to take, I think, about five, six weeks off.
And you've spoken on your page about how when you touched your stomach after the surgery...
That was the weirdest sensation.
That it just didn't feel like your body.
No, I remember. And I remember because I went through the Evoca. I'd found this surgeon online who was like an expert in the surgery I wanted. So it's not a tummy tuck, it's like a kind of like a tummy tuck, but it's called a fleur-de-lis. So it's basically an upside down T. So it's a lot more invasive than a standard tummy tuck. And there's like no liposuction or anything. It's just literally removing your skin and sewing you all back up. So there was this man that I'd read about and I was like, he just looks amazing. And it's not very common.
Mm-hmm.
And when I seen that he worked at the Evoca didn't even advertise this surgery. And I remember ringing them and they're like, oh yeah, we do that, it's just not very common. So I was like, okay. And I went in for my consultation and he was brilliant. He was so honest. He was literally just like, you're not going to get perfect results, like this is how it's going to be, it's going to like this. And he was just very honest, which I really like appreciated. So I was like, no, I definitely want to. And I remember he'd said to me at one point about it's kind of like body dysmorphia. He was like, there's kind of two ways like people get it, and it's like really hard for your head to catch up with the fact that it's your body. He said, or a lot of people get it and they will notice everything else.
Right.
So this area is fixed, but this is a problem, and this is a problem, and this. And he was like, it's so easy to get obsessed. He was like, but you don't want that. He's like, because you're never going to be satisfied if you become obsessed with it.
Isn't that so great that they...
That he was so honest
to
like
you
that.
Through all that beforehand.
Before it. And then, but it was funny because the day of the surgery, I was in the hospital for 2 days, and the first kind of half a day you can't get out of the bed or anything, you're literally just like flaked out. And then I remember when I was going to the bathroom, the nurse was outside and I was just so eager to see it. So like I went to the toilet and I was washing my hands at the mirror and I had the gown thing and I remember just lifting it and I was like, no, it was bandaged up. But it was when I put my hands on my stomach, I just got so lightheaded and I collapsed. But the nurse luckily was there, so she ran in and she helped me back. But the same thing happened then, because you have to wear like a corset type thing for 5 weeks. But obviously you take it off when you shower. And I remember when I was at home, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 days, I took the bandage off and I done the same thing. And I just started sweating. Like it was like a really, really cold sweat. And I got really dizzy and I had to just lie on my bed for a second and it stopped. But it was like as if... It's just so alien, because then I was like, and he was like, but you've been in this like body for 30 years, like everything you touch and sense, it's just so normal. He was like, so for you to wake up and have a new sensation. And I just hadn't thought of it like that before. So it was crazy, but like, I'm delighted now. Like I'm constantly like sitting at work being like, I don't have a belly on my lap, like rubbing it. But I just remember it was a really weird feeling.
And so do you think you've spoken on your page about the possibility of going for more surgery?
Yeah, so I've been really open. What I would love to do is, so I've had the tummy done in January, so it's 6 months. I'd love to have my arms and breasts.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to try do no implants, just because the upkeep, and I just would rather no implants. So he said that as well. He was like, I'd rather do just reconstruction with no implant. But he said there is a chance, because it's excess skin, that it might need one.
Okay.
So like, I'm not going to get my heart set on anything. I'm just going to go and see what he says. But I'd love to get that on my arms. So my arms are like my biggest problem area. I think my arms and my legs. But it's just such a big surgery that he was like, you can't get it all done together. So then in the summertime, next July, hopefully I could get my legs done.
Wow.
But they're big surgeries. They're expensive surgeries. Mm. Like they're kind of only $10,000 each. So it was a big decision even using the savings on the first surgery, because I had the whole guilt of like being a single mom and like this is our money and I'm spending it basically like on a tummy tuck, people would say. But at the end of the day, I was like, it's my happiness. And it was really painful. Like as much as it bothered me to look at like working out in the gym, that skin was very like painful.
But you'd done all that hard work. Yeah. You'd lost so much that it was just kind of the last step.
Yeah, exactly.
How different is your life now at Carter than it was in the first 2 years?
Oh, 100%. Like, just things I think that I noticed the most are stupid things people wouldn't even think about. Like, even just every day, like, getting to walk to school with them or getting to, like, go on the bike with them. Like, I never would have gone on a bike. Like, I wouldn't have even, like, walking anywhere or just going down to the end of the road with football. He loves going blackberry picking. That's, like, his favourite thing to do. But, like, even just going to the park and doing those kind of things or, like, going on holidays. We went on holiday this year. Like, the seatbelt fit me on the plane, which was like a big thing for me. And like just going to the beach with him and just doing like everyday stuff, but not even like thinking like my weight isn't a thing. It's just enjoying the moment with him. And I think that's the most like special thing, I suppose, is that my time with him isn't like overpowered, I suppose, by like negative thoughts or like my self-consciousness being like, oh God, I'm in public, I look like this, people are looking. It's just enjoying me and him.
When you think about your life now and then before, is it a case of before and after? Do you look at it like that?
Yeah.
Kind of two different chapters.
Yeah, definitely. I remember even a little while ago, there was kind of negative stuff online. People were saying about, you know, before and after pictures and like they shouldn't be posted. It's a really negative thing because it's like saying the before picture is like bad and like it's not a good sign. And I remember kind of being on the fence a little bit with it because I was like, but like when I share those pictures, it's not to show like bad and good. I think it's just more to show like how proud I am, I suppose, the strength that I had and like the determination, motivation. And like it really encourages me, I think, to when I see stuff like that online. And then when I see people saying that, I'd encourage them by sharing that kind of stuff. But I definitely do think, like, I mean, my life definitely went from bad to good, but at the same time, like, I had character, like, even in the kind of darkest days, I had character, and he was always like my good. But I think the coming from such a dark place, and like, there was just times, I suppose, when I was in the relationship or in London where I just never in a million years thought like I would be where I am. I just thought that was it, like my life, this was it now. Do you know, there's nowhere. I didn't even think I'd move back to Ireland or have the courage to like open up to friends and family about it. So seeing that change and like having the friends, like the support system I have, like I just feel so grateful and so blessed.
And you're in the gym 5 days a week, is it?
Yeah, so Monday to Friday.
Monday to Friday, you're in the gym. You've got a full-time job. You're a single mum. What do you say to people who are just looking for just a little bit of motivation to do it for themselves?
You just have to make a habit. Like, it's not easy. Like we were saying earlier, like people always are like, oh my God, like how do you do that every day? And I'm like, there's days when I really don't enjoy it. Like there's days my alarm goes off and I literally just want to roll over and snooze it. But I'm just like, but if I just get up and do it, it's done. And like you never get up and like get to the gym and you're like, I really, really regret coming here. Like that doesn't happen. You're always happy you go. And like even with the food prep, sometimes it's the last thing I want to do. But I know that it's what works for me. And I know it's what's going to help me like maintain the life kind of that I've gotten, and that if I want to keep being healthy and going the way I'm going, I just need to do it. And I do think there's little things that definitely help. Like the food diary helped me like immensely. Like I kept a food diary like religiously every single day. I write down exactly what I had. It's like the
and
Instagram
how does that help you?
I know I can be a little bit like planning and prepping is my thing kind of, but I just like for the week writing down your 7 breakfasts, your 7 lunches, 7 dinners. You won't always stick to it 100%. There's weeks when I would stick to it, but you know the way there's last minute lunches or last minute dinners that come up, or some days I'll come home like I just don't feel like that. But if I have the plan there, and like when I'm going to bed the night before, I'm like, right, this is for dinner and lunch tomorrow, I just take it out or like get it out of the freezer, prep what I need to prep, and then it's half the battle done. So like when you have a plan. If I didn't plan my dinner, you know, when you come in from work and you're kind of like, oh God, what do I feel like? I'm starving. I don't know what I'm having. And you're rooting around and then like you put a few crackers in your mouth and you're like, you get a bit of bread. And I'm that kind of person. I'll pick and then I'll end up making something quick and easy. Whereas if I come in and like, right, it's salmon tonight, I just get the salmon out and I cook it. So I really think planning and then setting really small goals. That's so much more helpful than like when I was saying, don't be like, okay, I'm going to lose 10 stone this year, because that's really, really hard to like achieve, and it would turn you off it. But I used to just set small goals, and it doesn't always have to be weight. Like, you could just say to yourself, this week I really want to try have like 4 pints of water every day.
Yeah.
And just do it. And then before you know it, like, it does creep in and it will kind of become a habit. You just have to motivate yourself. There's obviously going to be days where you don't want to do it, and that's fine if you don't. But if I think of where I was 2 years ago, like even the way like my situation was, my life, everything, to how I was able to change it around, just kind of true healthy eating, exercising, and obviously having like great friends and family.
And do that essentially is just doing things for yourself.
Yeah, it is.
Like self-care and wellness.
Yeah. You have to do it for yourself. Like, you're nobody's going to be able to make you do it. And it's really cheesy, but I'm always saying, I'm like, you have to be your biggest cheerleader. Like, you have to motivate yourself more than anyone. Like, nobody's going to want it for you as much as you do. And like, nobody's going to achieve it for you. Only you can. So I was like, you just have to believe in yourself and just push yourself on. And on days when you're having hard days, like, it's great to have friends and family that are supportive and that you can reach out to, but you just have to cheer yourself on. You just have to have a little talk with yourself, a little prep talk, and be like, get it done.
It's like what Oprah says, taking care of your body, no matter what your age, is an investment.
Exactly.
Love that quote.
And you'll never regret it.
Never.
Never going to regret choosing a healthy meal or like a workout over something else.
You are amazing. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast today. I'm so inspired by you. I literally want to go to the gym. and just for the endorphins, you know, just for how good it makes you feel. Like, you look so happy. You look amazing. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast with thanks to Fitbit. If you're enjoying this podcast, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. For more on my story, you can follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford.